robbery, narcotics, assault, and murder. These are the rap sheets from America's best musicians you've never heard. Why? These men and women are serving life sentences in some of the country's most secure prisons. Welcome to Sounds from the Slammer, a new music podcast from journalists Adam Schroeder and Angus Mordand. Each episode features original compositions and cover tunes from these inmates. The artists behind bars will also discuss their crimes and how the opportunity to pursue music in prison changed their lives. This episode, we're visiting Lyman Correctional Facility in Lyman, Colorado. My name is Adam Schroeder and I'm your host for this episode. Lyman Correctional Facility, a mixed-class prison including maximum security, opened in 1991 in a semi-arid region of Colorado's Eastern Plains. It can house up to 960 prisoners and counted 173 with life sentences at the end of March, according to Colorado Department of Corrections data. Prisoners with good behavior are allowed to partake in developmental programs, such as obtaining their GED. Lyman staff also provide inmates the opportunity to form its facility bands, which perform only at events inside prison walls. There are currently less than 10 inmates who have been approved to perform in the prison's four bands. In this episode, we're speaking with three members of the prison's R&B group. They are Otis Bell, Joaquin Mares, and Jody Aguirre. These interviews were conducted by cell phone, so the audio may be difficult to pick out for some listeners. I'll do my best to recap what was said as the episode goes along when suitable.
My name is Otis Bell, O-D-U-S-B-E-L-L. I've been locked up 31 years. I'm in here for assault, attempted murder, a bunch of burglaries. They gave me 160 years for that. And then when I first got here, when I was young, I did an escape, and they added another 20 years to it. So altogether, I got about 170 years. Hey, but I'm not, you know, I don't think about it no more because, you know what, when you do things like that, that's what you have coming.
How old were you when you were first incarcerated?
I was 21.
Did you play any music before you were locked up?
Yes, I've been playing instruments off and on since I was about 9 years old.
Were you looking into pursuing a music career before you were arrested?
I didn't take advantage of it like I should when I was young. You know, most kids doesn't listen to their parents. So, but when I got locked up, and I got in more trouble when I got here in the States, I got worse. So they put me in Ag Sig for like 19 years. I stayed there, but I continued to read different books about music and everything. I knew it was in my blood. I just wouldn't listen and humble myself to it. But when I got here, a lot of officers here gave us a lot of opportunity, especially toward Mr. Falk and Major Long. They gave us the opportunity to express ourselves and do things that are better by ourselves up in here. So I took extreme advantage of it, and now I done got pretty good at it.
Mr. Bell is referring to Major Jeff Long and Warden James Falk with the Lyman Correctional Facility.
A lot of guys here draw, a lot of guys here do other things, but I believe that music is the best way to express ourselves and show society that, hey, people do change, you know what I mean? When I come here, I was young, I made foolish mistakes, I done foolish things, but now I have the opportunity to express myself through my music and let people know that we are still human beings, we just made terrible mistakes, you know, and now that this facility has given us the opportunity to do that, I think it's the most wonderful thing in the world.
What genres of music do you like to play?
Well, I started out, when I got here, I started out with gospel. That's one of my favorite. I play jazz, play rhythm and blues. We play everything, basically, because we're the facility band, so we have to play a genre of music. We just can't play one thing, because sometimes we do the banquets here, the volunteer banquets. Volunteer banquets consist of staff coming in and doing the things that they do, so we put a little party together. So it's more like dinner music. Wine music, you know, kind of like music like that.
Mr. Bell also tells us about the opportunities in which he gets to perform. These include benefit concerts for charity, as well as honorary ceremonies for staff and inmates, including GED graduations.
My family, we grew up as Christian people. You know, it's always been in my blood, and it's always around the house, so I just knew it, and it was easy. It came easier for me, but my favorite music that I played was jazz, but I love gospel, and then it gave me opportunity to learn more in church, because I play in all the church facilities here, all the programs. I do all the Christmas shows. I do all their banquets. I do all their religious services. I play the music for them, you know.
Creating this pilot episode of Sounds from the Slammer was special. The prison's R&B group, rhapsodic at the opportunity to have their music aired in this podcast, wrote four original compositions to premiere on Sounds from the Slammer. The demo CD was sent by United States Postal Service to my home address, which which is probably the coolest thing that's ever happened in my news career. We'll air those tracks in just a moment. The interview with Mr. Bell was conducted before the band had a name. Since the interview, the band has come up with the name Next Level.
Now that you asked that question, Mr. Adam, we're going to start working on original songs, because we heard that you might want us to do this. So we're going to put our original song. Most of them is rhythm and blues, some are ballads, some are jazz, some are gospel. So we're going to do a variety for you, you know, maybe two or three. We're going to do some good stuff for you. I think you'll be very, very impressed. The last concert that we did, we just called ourselves The Right Notes. And was before that, it was Mixed Company. Now that we're putting a whole new band together for you, now we're not sure what we're going to call our band yet. Most of my songs is about love, peace, and understanding. And some of them, I got some instrumentals, but I express love. That's the main thing, you know. And this is a chance to open up to everybody, you know. Because sometimes you can't say what you want to say with your mouth, but that instrument will do it. And like I say, mine is basically based on love. And it's a message to our young society, too, that you don't have to be the person that you are. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to have the friends. You don't have to have this. Only thing you need is yourself and trusting God, and you can do anything you want to do.
So how much do you get to practice?
Well, Major Long and Warden Buck gave me, I'm the pair for the band room, so I'm basically there anywhere from 8 to 10 hours a day.
Otis is saying that his job in the prison is being in charge of the band room, where he works at least 8 hours a day.
That's my job.
Tell me more about your bandmates.
We have some pretty good musicians here, we really do. Matter of fact, you probably get a chance to interview the other three, which is Alex Lindsay, Todd Robinson, and Michael Chambers. Those are the other three guys. It's 6 of us all together. It's through the facility bands, and these guys are wonderful musicians. They really are. They have a passion for it.
What was it like getting to bond with these guys? Did you guys, like, form a family within the prison? What is it like to be a part of a group with these fellow inmates?
Yes, we do build like a brother relationship, a friend relationship, because we have to depend on each other. Everyone has to do his part. Everyone has to do his job. So we've been doing it together now for about 7 years. So we trust and we depend on each other. You know what I mean? And it's really made us understand. And most of them are God-loving men. That's what I like. They love the Lord. That's the main thing about me. You know, I don't try to push it on anybody, but I'm just glad that they are God-fearing men.
Do you think that music helps curb recidivism? You know, the idea that inmates will return to their troubled pasts.
Man wasn't put on this earth to rob, rape, murder, and kill, and do things like that. We wasn't meant to do that. We just made those bad choices. But this is an opportunity for me to wake up and see now that that's not for me. I don't ever want to do anything like that again. And like I say, I'm going to take extreme advantage of what I have now. Even though I'm in prison, I want to stay here and play the rest of my music the rest of my life and get out there and be a burden on society again. We wasn't built to do that, and I'm not going to ever do it again.
After we'd wrapped up our interview, Mr. Bell said that he had one more thing he wanted to say to the public.
Mr. Adam, I'd like to tell the public this here. You know, music is good for the soul. All music is good as long as you're talking about something positive and something meaningful and talking about something that you experience in life, and that's the music I like. Music is a way to communication with all people, no matter where you at. Some type of music is going to touch your heart. But, you know, I don't put down the rappers and everybody else, but I think everything should be positive. Now, it's so much chaos and madness going on in the world. We don't need nothing negative. We don't need to be talking about women or men or talking about pimping and this and that. We need to express love through our music, understanding, something that we experience through our music. That's what the world needs right now. We got enough chaos. We don't need it no more. You know what I mean?
Thank you for your time, Otis. Now get ready for this soft, classic rock throwback with vocals reminiscent of R&B greats Benny King, Percy Sledge, and Al Green. The song, titled Keys to My Heart, features Mr. Bell on lead vocals, bass, and all guitars. Alex Lindsay, whom we did not have the opportunity to interview, performs drums, percussion, and background vocals. Inmate Joaquin Maras also joins in on background vocals.
I was being foolish too, because I was.
We apologize that the audio cuts out there. Mr. Mares is saying that he is currently serving a life sentence without parole.
Originally picked up the guitar when I was 15. A relative of mine originally started showing me how to play the guitar. And so I played off and on for a little while. Nothing serious, just, you know, once I got to prison, it didn't take me long to find a place in the music program here. And I've been playing ever since, playing in bands. One of the reasons why I started playing guitar, because I used to like heavy metal a lot. Those are my roots. But as I grew older, mature, my taste in music kind of broadened. So I learned how to play in rock, jazz, a little bit of country, classical. I love classical guitar.
What do you like about classical guitar?
Well, I like the fact that it's you don't need a band.
What are some of these positive character traits you've learned from playing music?
25 years ago, as a very young and immature man, I made a serious mistake, the ultimate mistake of taking someone's life. I've exhausted my entire adult life striving to not only understand my crime in a way that would provide some clarity as to why it happened, but also learning how to be responsible and learning to express my remorse. And music has provided the means for me to accomplish both. It wasn't always like that. I mean, when I first got, I viewed music as a way to escape the reality of my situation. Because, you know, I was 20 years old. Just came down with a fresh life sentence. I didn't, you know, my first time to prison. I really didn't know what I was going to do to survive the situation. So that was a way for me to escape. But what I didn't realize was that in the process of learning how to play, I was learning the habits that were, conducive to shaping my character in a very positive way. Unless you're extraordinarily gifted, which I can't say that I am, music, you have to learn. You have to dedicate a lot of time, a lot of effort, a lot of dedication. It's not easy. Originally, I learned music as, you know, a way to escape my responsibility, but what it ended up doing was teaching me the opposite.
Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Because of the nature of the situation, you know, we're constantly having personnel changes in our group. You know, guys can move to another facility, they can go out to court, they can get in trouble and be removed from population. So whenever that happens, other guys in the band have to step up and fill that part. So I'm fluent in guitar, but I've had to play bass, I've had to play keyboard. I haven't got to the drums yet, but that might be a little bit down the road.
What do other inmates and staff think about you performing in these bands?
I've mentored numerous aspiring musicians in throughout the whole entire time that I've been here. The staff that know me, the staff that have been here for a while, and even the ones that haven't been here as long, as they get to know everybody here, they see how they interact with other prisoners and how they do their time. You know, they know that the people who are involved in the music program, they they know that, you know, they're not the type that are going to get in trouble, because in order to maintain your status in the music program, you have to stay out of trouble. There is a redemptive power in creative expression. And, you know, we, for whatever reason that we find ourselves in this situation, you know, we do owe a huge, we owe society. And just sitting in a prison cell is, you know, we're not able to repay our debt to society just sitting in a prison cell. So we need to come up with things that are going to, you know, enable us to pay our debt to society. And, you know, I think music provides that. It's provided that for me in my life and a lot of guys that I've, you know, been able to work with throughout the years.
Mr. Mars says that many prisons lack what he calls pro-social influence. That is the idea that positive social structures and opportunities within prisons will help prisoners reform and become better people. That includes opportunities like Lyman's facility bands, which don't just provide creative expression and discipline, but permit model inmates to socialize with each other and those who might benefit from them as role models.
You know, one of the things that is lacking in the prison system is a complete and total lack of pro-social influence. You know, I mean, and it's hard for me to believe, because for whatever reason that guys are put in prison, we couldn't function in society, right? So they put everybody in the same spot where, and then, I think we're expected to just be good, but there's just a complete and total lack of pro-social influence in our lives. And from my own experience, I know that there are younger guys that look up to the guys that are in my situation, and I know that I've impacted a lot of youngsters' lives too.
We just heard from inmate Joaquin Mares. Now stay tuned for his ballad, Love's Philosophy, representative of R&B from the 1980s and including elements of 80s pop rock. Mares performs lead and rhythm guitars, often with flowing guitar solos. Lindsay returns on drums. Inmate Todd Robinson joins in on keyboards. Jody Aguirre sings lead vocals, while Michael Chambers sings background vocals. Here's Love's Philosophy.
As the sea, as the sea, I'm drowning in the memory of you, where did you go? Please tell me where, I long to be in your company, what was peace and we were free, right away, beyond this mystery, I'm dancing to the melody of you, where did you go? Rocking to their knees, please do rain eternally, holding still.
This crooning 70s rhythm and blues slow jam, titled Stay, also features messages of love and was written by Alex Lindsay. He performs drums, bass, and lead vocals on this track. Joaquin Mares performs lead guitar, and Otis Bell performs rhythm guitar. Todd Robinson performs keyboards, and Michael Chambers sings background vocals. Jody Aguirre also sings background vocals on this track.
That you know it'll make was a man of me. Turn my world upside down and spin my head round and round. But I won't be the one to hold you down, but I'm asking you to stay, baby. Baby, won't you
stay, yeah, stay?
Come on home, my lady.
The next inmate we're going to hear from is Jody Aguirre. Mr. Aguirre says he's in jail for conspiracy to commit first-degree murder. Aguirre said a man he was in business with at the time committed the crime with a relative of his. Though he says he wasn't privy to the crime until after it was committed, he says he was still convicted of the charge when he refused to provide information to police.
I'm here for being a business partner with a friend that I one of my best friends who was fresh out of prison in 1992 and did something, and I wouldn't tell the authorities what he told me he did. Something that he did with someone that was related to me. And because I wouldn't divulge my knowledge, and because I don't have the company and my ties to these individuals, I was convicted of first degree murder. Music, honestly, saved my life. In this situation, you try to find anything to give you hope, to motivate you, to encourage you. And music, especially during these past 24 years, has done that. And like after I escaped from prison in 2003 from Buena Vista, I was sent to solitary confinement for a number of years. And there, you're allowed to hear music. And there's a song called "Don't Give Up" by Peter Gabriel and Kate Bush that really kept me going.
In case you didn't catch that, Jody says he spent time in solitary confinement for an attempted prison escape. The prison that Jody says he escaped from was Buena Vista Correctional Facility in Buena Vista, Colorado. He first heard Peter Gabriel and Kate Bush's duet, "Don't Give Up," while in solitary, which he says inspired him to turn his life around and get into music.
And when I got out, I made a choice. When I got out of solitary confinement, I made a choice that I wasn't going to take my talent for granted. I wasn't going to take anything, for whether it be the rain or whatever. I was going to use it and do something good with it. And I immediately got with the audition for a band when I got out of solitary confinement. And apparently I was good enough to make the band. And ever since then, we've been several bands over the years. We've been doing music.
Do you think that all prisons should offer music programs?
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely. You ever seen Shawshank Redemption?
Yeah, it's actually one of my favorite films.
Remember that scene where he's in the warden's office and he plays that beautiful record and he puts it over the intercom to the yard and everything?
The song featured in the film was the duet "Solaria" from Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart's The Marriage of Figaro.
And the reaction, everybody stopped and they listened to this beautiful, I think it was a sonata if I'm not mistaken. That's truly how music affects people in here.
Do other inmates get to see you perform that often?
We just did, I don't know if my bandmates told you, we just did a fundraiser for Special Olympics last month where we raised enough money to send a couple of Olympians to Europe. And next month, on July the 20-something, we're going to do a Cancer Walk fundraiser where I wish you can come to that because there'll be multiple bands playing.
So is this R&B group the only group that you have within the prison, or are there any other facility bands?
Otis Bell, who is a drummer and a great rhythm guitarist, is in our jazz R&B band.
The R&B band he's referring to in those last quotes is Next Level, the band featured in this podcast.
And Mr. Mahdez, Joaquin Mahdez, is in that band as well. And he and I also have a rock band where we play stuff like old Black Sabbath, to new stuff, and some originals as well. He's a wonderful, wonderful lead guitarist. Can play classical music, can play Bach, Beethoven on his guitar. He's just a talented guitarist. And we have that rock band. Tonight is our practice night, actually. So yes, they are my bandmates in one and several bands, you know?
Yeah, so how many bands do you guys actually have going on right now?
We have our originals, and we play covers. For our R&B band, we'll do stuff like, I'm not sure if you're familiar with the Gap Band or Earth, Wind & Fire. For example, one of our songs that we're doing in our rock band is by a group called Highly Suspect, called My Name is Human. Really, really good song. But we'll mix those covers with our originals as well during these sets that we do.
So what is your songwriting process?
Basically, what I'll do is I'll write a poem and put music to poetry, basically. Sometimes the music will come within a half an hour. And then from there, that's your foundation. And then, you know, you get the bandmates together and you add their little nuances, the bass line, the drum line, et cetera, et cetera. And then there's some times where you work on a song for days, maybe even weeks to try to make it fit right. And then again, you know, you'll change that song several times over sometimes.
Mr. Aguirre was audibly moved when he found out that his original compositions would be premiered on this podcast and that his family and friends on the outside would be able to hear him for the first time.
They are? Oh, that's beautiful, man. Makes me emotional to think about that possibility, because in this world here, the world that is prison, you feel as though you have no voice, and you want to communicate with people on whatever level you can, whether it's, you know, a vocabulary or song or writing. Because I wrote a book. I wrote an autobiography about my life, which I'm editing now. But just to reach people, period, is a beautiful thing, and that's awesome.
How do you hope that this podcast and your music is received outside of these prisons? Do you think it will have a big impact on what the general public thinks about inmates?
Most people, I think out there, their opinion of prison is everybody should be slammed down, eating spinach every 3 days, and staring at the wall 24 hours. They don't realize that their perception of penitentiary is supposed to be sheer punishment, when that's not what it's supposed to be. And when they realize that music is not only beneficial to the inmate population, but it's beneficial to the safety of the inmate population as well as staff. It relieves all those tensions. So if it's put in that perspective, the benefits of music on all levels, I think they would have a better understanding and a better appreciation for it.
Do you have anybody on the outside that's ever heard your music before?
Well, I have three grandsons. My beautiful daughter, who's 35 now, she was 11 when this happened, when I was convicted. I was able to send her, I've been down so long that I think CDs are the new fad. So we were able to send CDs to our families of cover songs that we had done in our band during these performances. And as of yet, I don't think my daughter, for whatever reason, has been able to play them for my three grandsons, but that's okay. I would love to have this opportunity for my loved ones to hear our music, because they haven't heard our originals. It was unusual being on the phone with someone other than a family member.
The last song we're premiering in this inaugural episode of Sounds from the Slammer was written by Aguirre and sets a strong tone for the end of the group's demo. The song, often sounding Pink Floyd-esque, showcases Aguirre's affinity for classic rock. It begins with a haunting harmonic keyboard riff before a heavily distorted electric guitar joins in the call and response, making up much of the song's melodic structure. Aguirre performs keyboard and sings lead vocals. Joaquin Mares performs all guitars and bass in the chorus. Alex Lindsay rounds out the ensemble with drums and bass on the melody. Here's Mystic Hustle. Thank you.
world ain't what it used to be. Whatever happened is saying what to me. Seems like yesterday that I was home. Nobody's gonna remember when it's all said and done. Upon a time it was just you and me. Nothing but love and pure alchemy. Lives blessed by magic and addictions from above. Prayers from our ancestors long before we were born. Longing for you clears my mind, keeps me awake through the sleepless night, only to remember when morning comes that I'm still in
Thank you for listening to Sounds from the Slammer. Our executive producers are Adam Trotter and Angus Mordant. Our music was composed by David Glennie and Colton Cruz. We'd like to thank Lyman Correctional staff for recording the inmates and providing access to interviews for us, as well as keeping America safe. We'd like to thank the inmates for letting us speak with them and air their music. You can catch our next episode on iTunes and Google Play. Visit our website, soundsfromtheslammer.com, or check out our social media for more information and additional content. Tune in next Friday for an episode featuring the ladies of Montana Women's Prison.